Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Malcolm was sick today. Yeah, so you stuck with me. I actually have been working on this message for a little while. There was a time I had said this before. There was a time where life got busy, you know, and I got distracted, and things were going on. The kids had soccer. I was working a lot of hours. House had to be fixed. There was still stuff I was doing on the house. Winter's coming, right? So you get distracted, right? Distracted from God. And even though I really try to make it a practice of communicating with God all day long, and just feeling His presence, communicating, sometimes God wants some alone time, just with Him. And that's where this message came from. There was a day, it was a Thursday evening. I got home from the elders' meeting. I was running across a lot of people that were hurt. A lot of people hurt. Hurt physically, spiritually, emotionally. And I was trying to communicate to them about God, right? I'm trying to communicate, and I just, in my heart, I'm like, just grab a hold of this. You will be better if you can grab a hold of this. But they weren't grabbing it. And it was wearing me down. Wearing me down. As a Christian, I became discouraged. And I shouldn't have been. But I was feeling discouraged. I'm like, why can't people just understand this? Why can't they grab a hold of this Jesus Christ that I know, that has helped me so much? How come they can't grab a hold of it? So that evening on that Thursday, I went home, and it was just alone time. I didn't open the Bible. I didn't do anything. All I did was sit there. And I poured out my heart to God, and I said, God, we need to reach people. We need to reach people, and how do we do that? What are you telling me that should be done? What am I missing? Because I'm missing something, because it's not happening, right? If it was happening, things would be changing. People's lives would be changing. But I see the same people doing the same mistakes over and over again. The same people who have things going on in their life that's destructive over and over again. Why aren't they changing? That was the question. So I prayed that, and God filled my heart. You're going to hear this message, and the message you already heard from Sylvia. The message is that we need to change our approach. And He filled my mind for about an hour. All I did was sit there and write. And I didn't even think about what I was writing. Whatever He was putting in my head, I was writing. And so when Malcolm called, and I had been thinking about this and contemplating this stuff, and songs were coming up in my head, and things were happening, everything was kind of meshing together. And then Malcolm said, and I had planned on doing this maybe at the end of October, because I felt like I wasn't ready. And Malcolm's sick, and God says, you're ready. So then you better listen, right? So that's how all that works, right? So this has been a challenging week besides that, right? I mean, we hear this story of these people in Oregon, right? These stories, I mean, some of it really builds me up, you know? Here's these young kids. Here's a gunman who's asking them, are you a Christian? If they say no, he's going to shoot them somewhere that isn't going to kill them. But if they say yes, he shoots to kill. And these young men had enough trust in God, had a strong belief, knew what was coming, and said, yes, I am a Christian. How many of us would do that? I would hope most of us would. But there's always that little doubt, isn't there? Isn't there that little doubt? So you can get that picture, and it builds me up to know that these kids in this country, where nothing like this could ever happen, right? Isn't that what people say? Things like this will never happen in America. But it does. And it is. And it did. Right? We should be thinking about this. It's challenging, isn't it? This is the sign of the times, okay? This is America. And we got people executed for their belief. Now, maybe he was just one crazy person. But you can see the signs on the wall that things are penetrating in here. Into this land that we think is so blessed that we're protected all the time. But there's a different story, isn't there? There's a different story.
Satan's at work.
Satan is at work, twisting people's minds all the time. It's a challenging week. And you can see that things are changing faster and faster. That's what people don't realize, I don't think. Bad things happen all the time, right? They always happen. But things are changing fast. We're in a downward spiral. You know, and it can be discouraging. We don't want to be discouraged, but it can be, right? And so, even though I was kind of felt built up that these kids had that much faith, that they said, yes, I am a Christian, and then they were executed. At the same time, in my mind, I'm thinking about all the other people out there that don't know Christ, who are dying, who have been executed, right? Who have a sickness. All these people hurting out there. And it bothers me. It bothers me that they don't know Christ. Because these kids, they had confidence in saying yes, because they knew that even though they were killed here on earth, they knew where they were going. They were going to heaven, to a better place. Now there's some trauma that happens to the family here, but they knew they were going to a better place.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen, right? At the same time, there's people that don't know Christ, and they're getting killed and dying, and we know where they're going, and it hurts. It hurts to know that they're going to be in an eternity in hell. And if you have a love of people, we should be hurting that that's happening. If we want to speak the truth, then we should be telling these people more. We need to be able to communicate with these people more. Even when they're not grabbing on. Even when I'm feeling discouraged because I'm trying to help them, but they're not grabbing on to it. It's not about my discouragement. It's about them. The lost. This message is called Reaching the Lost. And that's what Sylvia was talking about. And that's what the prodigal story is about. And that's why we believe what we believe, and that's why we sing that song. We believe in Jesus Christ, right? It really bothers me to see people hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's amazing to me that in a country that has been so blessed, and we have so much excess, that people are still hurting. Isn't it? Think about it. We got everything we could ever need. Plus. Excess. Right? And yet people are still hurting.
That's because they don't have Jesus.
That's because they don't have Jesus. That's right. People are hurting all around us. And people are searching to ease their pain. Right? That's... People are just searching. They want to dig. They're like, I'm hurting. How do I get rid of this? Right? Pain of past hurts pain of betrayal, pain of neglect, pain of not feeling loved or of any value, pain of feeling alone and isolated, like pain of feeling hopeless that a physical illness will never go away, an emotional pain that's caused by a loved one of dying. Life is tough, and there's hurt all around us. Most people would say and act like they're fine, but they're hurting. There was a poem that somebody brought in to me one time, and it was called "I'm Fine." Yeah. Anybody read that before? Well, anyways, it's a description of all these people's hurts, or a person's hurt. And at the end, it's always, "I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine." Right? So when I come up and I say, "Joker, how are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm doing pretty good." Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the whole time, he's been sick all week or something. You know, I'm just making that up. But we're not fine. We're hurt. It's only natural for us to try to decrease the pain. So what happens, right? What happens if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ? A person reaches for a bottle of whiskey. A young kid reaches for pills. A 50-year-old reaches for a gun. A spouse cheats on his wife looking for love in all the wrong places. These are things that to fill our void, isn't it? I mean, we're looking, we're searching. Now, as believers, we shouldn't be going through that, right? Some of us do. That's a message for a different day. But today we're talking about the lost that don't know Jesus. Our strength does not come from the mountains. Our strength comes from God. Right? It comes from God. It can be tough. It can be exhausting. Can it? We can get worn down. Anybody get worn down ever? From trying to reach people? Trying to reach our friends? Trying to reach our family members? Trying to reach the people who we come in contact that we know are hurting? At work, I run into it all the time. And I know at your jobs, you're running into it at all times. It's exhausting. It's tiring. But we get strength, don't we? We're supposed to have strength in Jesus Christ. We're not meant to give up. We're meant to pursue. So we got to start asking more questions. We got to challenge ourselves. We got to be communicating with God. We need alone time with God, speaking and listening. My cousin shared with me a video on the internet soon after all this started going through my mind. It's amazing. There's a video of a Catholic evangelist. And he was an energetic young man. And he was on fire for God. It was amazing. It was awesome to listen to this. He hit things that were really on key. But one thing that really stuck out to me, and it kind of shook me a little bit. It really made me think. And I needed to ponder this a little bit. He said, "Most people know what Christians and God are against. You go out in the world and you talk to anybody and you say, 'What is God against?' they will tell you. They may be doing it still, but they will tell you because they know what God is against. We've done an excellent job telling people what God is against. Haven't we? But not many people know what Christians and God are for. We're not telling the gospel enough. That's what God told me too. We're not telling the gospel of Jesus Christ enough. We're good at pointing out things. We're good at spitting out scripture to people. Of, don't do this. Don't do that. God doesn't like this. God doesn't like that. But how good are we at saying, this is what God stands for. This is why He doesn't want you to do this. This is why He doesn't want you to do that. It's not for, you know, doing this and doing that isn't for His benefit. It's for our benefit. By not doing this or that, it's to protect us. But we're not telling the lost this. We're just telling them not to do it. The media does not help with this, does it? The media loves to say things like, oh, the Christians are against this. Oh, the Christians are against that. Right? The media never says, well, the Christians are for this or for that. Right? The media is not helping the situation. Right? It's a push against Christianity. So they don't want to spread that message. They don't want to say how many charities Christians founded and are helping people. How many times do you hear that on the news? Compared to Christians stand against this. Christians stand against abortion. Christians stand against homosexuality. Christians stand against pornography. Christians stand. Christians stand. Christians stand. They love to point that out because they know that people are rebellious at nature. I'm rebellious at nature. Somebody comes up to me and says, Reggie, don't do this. I'm going to say, who are you to tell me that I can't do that? And I'm going to do exactly that to prove to you that I can do that. Right? It's a rebellious spirit. We all have it. If somebody comes up and says, I don't want you to walk right now. Actually, Joe, who was it that was sitting there that was coming up?
John.
John actually did. I can't believe he didn't come up anyways. I mean, Joe said, points his finger, and John sat back down. He's like, take your finger and you put it somewhere. You know? That's the truth. We have a rebellious spirit. Our approach to our friends and family, co-workers, and other people we come in contact with has not been effective enough. You know, it's not bad to point out things not to do. It's not bad the way we've been going at it. It's just not effective. We're not getting to people. It's not sinking in. When we're talking to people and we start throwing out scripture to people who are lost, they don't get it. You might as well be talking in a different language to them. It doesn't mean anything to them because they don't read it.
It is a different language.
It is, right. And if they are reading it, they don't understand it. Because their heart is not into it. So we need to be able to communicate with them. If I come up here and I talk about physical therapy stuff to you, you're all going to be looking at me like, what's he talking about? That's how they're looking at us. What's he talking about? And then just to give the answer of, okay, and they say, well, why do you say that? And you say, well, the Bible says it. That ain't going to cut it. How many kids like to hear when their parents say, well, because I said so? It's not a very good rationale, is it? Especially if you don't believe in the book to start off with. We need to be communicating better. We need to understand people better. We're good at telling people different things. We hear a little thing and we jump right on it, right? If somebody says, you know, I'd like to stop drinking. I mean, we'll tell them all kinds of different ways to stop drinking. But we're not getting to the root issue. The root issue is why. Why are they drinking? They don't really want to know how to stop drinking because they already know it. They've heard the stories. They know they can go to AA, but they're not going still. So the root question is why? And that's something that we're missing when we're talking to people. And sometimes we really don't want to know why because we don't have time to deal with why. I mean, if we're real with each other, right? If I ask why, they're going to tell me a big long story. And I'm in a hurry. I got things to do. And yeah, that person could end up in hell because we're not taking the time to do it. That's something we should be thinking about, shouldn't it? We need to listen to people. We need to listen and we need to ask the question why. There was we went and listened to a basketball player who played for the Celtics. Chris, I'm blanking out right now, but Chris somebody. He was the head of the school, and he was he became a drug addict before he even got into the NBA, and he was very talented. And he said something there too. He said the same thing. He said nobody ever asked him why. Everybody had all kinds of ideas of what to do, how to do it, but nobody ever asked him why. We need to get to the root of what's going on. If we don't attack the root, nothing's going to change. I open by saying there's an internal need that people have. They want to feel loved and they want to feel of value. Every single person wants that. And right now, we got a generation of kids growing up right now, these young kids who are missing that. Because their families are broken down.
That's right.
And then they're not getting that. So these problems that we're seeing now, it's going to triple. It's going to quadruple in the future. It really is. I hear these kids. I hear the stories. They're going home. They're not getting fed. They go to Harvest because the only reason that they go to Harvest, and they're getting fed the Word of God there, thank God for that, right? But they're going there because they're not getting food at home. So they're getting food at a church. So they had a physical need that brought them there. Right? There's breakdown. We're broken down as a nation. There's a lot of lost people. The Northeast is tough to break through, isn't it? Man, we're hardy. We're tough. We can do it on our own. It was instilled in us that we could do this. So we don't need God, and we don't need Joe, and we don't need Joker, and we don't need you. I'll do it all myself. It's not true. It's not true. Everybody needs to be loved. They have an internal need for that. They want to feel valuable. That's the root issue. So if we are going to teach the lost, we need to get to know the lost, don't we? We need to understand why they think the way they think. And how to communicate with them in a way they will understand.
I just wrote that down. Find a way that they will understand.
That's right. We are busy. We are so distracted with our own lives. But we can be selfish, can't we? Mm-hmm. Our own lives. That we don't find out what makes a person happy or what makes them sad. Everything is on the surface. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about weather. But we won't really find out what's going on in people's lives. There is always a why. Most people are hurting for reasons. They don't feel loved. They feel unworthy. Or they do not feel that they are of any value to society. People want to feel loved and important. They are looking for love and value. Why are we not telling people about God's love? Why are we not telling people about God's love? This is the message. We need to do this more. It's a perfect love. He's the creator of love. A love that tells people they were created for a reason. And it wasn't to destroy themselves. It wasn't to have as much fun as you can and then die at 30 years old. That was not the reason. A love so deep, he sent his only son down to earth to die a brutal death to save that person. We need to tell them that. We need to make sure they understand what we're talking about. That it doesn't matter what they did in the past. It's already by. There's nothing they can do about it. It doesn't matter what somebody else did to them in the past. It doesn't matter. It's done. You can't reverse it. We need them to understand this. And we need them to understand that God is a loving God. A God that accepts them for where they're at right now. A love that if you reach into God, He will be with you. He will guide you. He will carry you through the difficult times. A love that will never leave you. Even when you mess up again, because we all do it. We can make pretend we don't do it. We can put on a great show. I'm a Christian. I can put on a great show. But we all do it. We fall short. And we cry back to God, and God forgives us. We know this. They do not. He will carry you through the difficult times. A love that will never leave. A love each of us crave and need. He built that into us. We need love. We need acceptance. But we also need His love. His love is internal. So when people are looking for love, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Right? They don't really realize that if they find love, then they're not going to hurt as bad. And if they're not going to hurt as bad, then they're not going to drink as much. And they're not going to pop pills. And they're not going to feel like they have to commit suicide to get away from the pain. It's about finding the love. A love that says God knows your struggles. And by turning it over to Him, those same struggles will disappear over time. And we need to be honest. And we need to be real. And we need to say, listen, this doesn't happen overnight. Boom. I believe in God, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything's done. It's not true. So we're setting them up for failure if we act that way, right? Or if we say that. Because when it doesn't go the way that they want, then they start to say, well, that's a bunch of hogwash. They don't know what they're talking about. But it's amazing over time what God can do. All those things that we used to crave and all those things that we wanted and we thought were so important for us, He pulls it out slowly, plucks it away. He prunes the tree, right? Bit by bit, struggle by struggle. He knows. He understands. We need to tell them about God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Here's the tough one. The one that we have a hard time with. We need to accept that person for where they're at. For what they know. Boy, we look at people and sometimes they are lost, aren't they? And we're thinking, there is no way this person's going to find God. And yet, I know people that were so lost and found God. It's a beautiful thing. But yet, I still feel like that. Well, that one's way too far off. I can't get a hold of that one. You know?
I was going to say, I feel like when children, and I pray, God, give me the faith. I haven't got the faith. I need the faith. Sable? Because I always say, well, look at Paul.
Look at Paul.
God knocked him off his horse.
Right.
And he became a great man of God.
Became a great man of God. Right. You can't find a worse sinner than that.
Right.
He's killing Christians.
Right.
And became one of the best, probably the best Christian out there. How does that happen? Right? That was a supernatural act. And sometimes it takes a supernatural act that God works through us. We say the right thing. It clicks. We stick it out. It clicks. We need to accept them for where they're at because they don't know any better. To go to a homosexual and say, you're wrong for being a homosexual is not going to change that person.
Amen.
I've seen it a million times. I've heard the stories. I see it on TV. It ain't going to work. We need to get to know that person. We need to know why. I read a book by Lacey Sturm. Lacey Sturm is a Christian rock singer for the band Flyleaf. And her home life was such a wreck growing up that she pushed against everything, but she justified it for good. In her mind, she was thinking she was doing it for good. She thought she was a homosexual at that time because her life was so messed up. She'd go to anybody who was willing to show her some acceptance. And who was that? It was another female. She just wanted to be loved. So while everybody else is rejecting her, she's in the wrong spot. We can be that person. We can be rejecting a person and being in the wrong spot. We need to get to the root. Same thing with any other sin. Any other destructive act. Anything that goes against God's word. There's a root problem. Why is that? And by pushing them away, it's not going to help that person. Nobody likes to be told, you're wrong. I don't like to be told I'm wrong. You can ask Carla. If she tells me I'm wrong and I am wrong, I still fight against it. It's true. And I'm a slow learner. We need to tell these people, the lost, their positive qualities. Right? We need to find something positive about this person. Because even though they have negative qualities, most people still have a positive quality. Right? I know a lot of drug people in the prisons. Well, I don't know a lot of people. I've heard stories of people who are in a prison and they have drug problems. And they have a huge heart. The drug problem is not the person. The person has a drug problem. See the difference? It's not the person. And then once we find that positive quality, we need to make sure that we explain to them that that positive quality was given to them by God. God gifted that person with that quality for a specific purpose. For a specific purpose. That gives people value. That makes people feel like they're loved. They will gravitate towards us if we do that instead of walking away. We need to ask people what they believe and why they believe what they believe. Because we cannot communicate with people if we're not talking the same talk. Right? I can tell people all I want what I believe, but they're not going to understand because they have a different belief. They have a different thought process. Right? And God is saying, reach into their thought process. You know, if you're a Republican, they want, you know, and you get a Democrat with them, you can argue all day long. Right? I mean, it's going to happen. Right? But if you can understand their rationale of why they think a certain way, and if they can understand a rationale why you think a certain way, now you can communicate. Now you're looking through somebody else's eyes. You can't just tell them that they're wrong for being this or that. You need to understand it. Get to the root. Understand each other. Why do you think that way? Why do you support this? Okay, now this is why I support that. Now, I agree with some of what you're saying. We can say that, can't we? But I don't agree with this, and this is why. It's a communication problem. It's a communication problem. We have a problem in this country. It's happening in the Senate, in the House of Representatives. Everybody's so fixed on their point that nobody will talk to each other. No, everybody's shutting each other out. So what gets done? Nothing. And what's the one thing that people are complaining about most in this country is that nothing, the Senate and the Congress are doing nothing. Because it's a communication problem. And that's what we have as Christians, trying to talk to the lost. We see things different. They see things different. We need to, they're not going to come to us. Well, they might. Some of them might. But most of them aren't going to come to us and try to understand what we're thinking. We need to go to them. Jesus went to them. He reached for them. He went with them. He understood them. And he talked to them. But he also listened to them. And there's nothing wrong with sharing what we believe. But we got to share it in a way that they understand. Right? We just got to do it. We got to find out what makes them kick. You know? If they're hunters, we talk about God's beauty in the wilderness. Right? We don't want to be talking about something else that they have no clue about. If they work in a factory, and that's what they do, then we need to be able to talk to them in a way that they understand how factory people would talk. Can you follow what I'm saying? It's about getting to know the people, understanding the people. We need to share our testimonies. Our testimonies are good and bad. Because they can see through us. They may be blind, but they know if we're trying to pull the wool over their eyes. So we can't be pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. They need to hear our testimonies. Where do we struggle? And how do we deal with it? Where do we rise above? And how did we get there? That's what changes people's lives. I love biographies. I like getting into biographies. I love to read about people's struggles and how they overcome. It is amazing. It is. And it gives me inspiration because I struggle. I have my struggles. You have your struggles. But we have somewhere to turn and they don't. They don't. Can you imagine what it feels like when you don't have a faith? No wonder why they reach for pills. Because they have nothing to lean into. They have no hope. They feel no love. They feel no value.
Reggie, they're not going to reach out to you because they've been pushed away their whole life.
They've been pushed away their whole
pushed
life.
Pushed away and pushed down.
And pushed told, down.
Told they had no work. Told they had no value.
Yeah.
Told they had no choice.
And they had no choice. Yeah. People are down and out. There's reasons. They weren't born like that. God did not create them that way. Society, families, situations created them that way.
That's right.
Tell them the truth. Don't hold back. Tell them your struggles. Tell them your struggles. I grew up in a pornography age. Pornography was at my fingertips all the time. It was easy. When I was 16 years old, me and my buddy, we went and bought a Playboy. We thought that was incredible, right? And so we're all happy and stuff. And then computers came. And what's the first thing I did on a computer? Find some naked girls. It gets catchy, and then you start. Then you get caught up in this stuff. If we don't communicate that with people, that's a problem. And we don't tell them our stories of the struggle of getting away from that stuff. And how God took that, changed it. We got to be real. We got to tell them our struggles. We got to tell them what God did for us to get out of that situation. And then we'll tell them why. Why was that bad? Because it screws up your marriage. That's why. It screws up your expectations. That's why. And so you can't have a bond with your partner if you're doing that stuff. But we got to tell them. We can't be afraid. We got to talk about our struggles. But we also got to point out how God changed it. Tell them the truth. They'll know. There'll be a connection. People connect with the truth. Tell them that you can read the Bible. And there's people that struggled. Every big person in there struggled through life. David struggled. Jeremiah struggled. Job struggled. Everybody struggles through life. And tell them that these people are in the Bible, and yet God loved them, and God loves them. And through that love, their life changes. Through that love, the lost lives can change. Tell them that Jesus searched for sinners and how he changed their life for better because he loved them. and because he loves you. Tell them how Jesus worked. Right? Tell them that Jesus didn't just push them away. Tell them Jesus' love. I'm going to go to Ephesians. I haven't done any real. This message was a message that God instilled in me. There wasn't a lot of scripture that goes with this, but I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that I think go along with this, and I kind of want to just summarize some of this with it. If we go to Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's us. That's everybody, isn't it? He made us alive in this church. In churches all around the country. Made us alive. But we were dead. Right? We were dead. And they're dead right now. The lost are dead. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Right? They're caught up in the world. We get caught up in the world, but they really get caught up in the world because they got no foundation. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We can't forget where we came from, right? We were lost. The further we get from being lost, the harder it is for us to communicate with them, right? Because we're different. The more I learned about physical therapy and the muscles and stuff, the more it became so natural to me that when I try to tell people about it, I have a hard time communicating it with them, right? Let's not forget where we came from. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, and he loves them, right? He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Amen, right? That should be a big amen there. By grace you have been saved. Amen. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Right? That's the goal. Right? That's the message we should be sharing with the lost. I'm the same as you. You're the same as me. There's one difference. I know Jesus. And I know the truth. And I want to share that truth with you. If we go to Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. That's what we need to tell them. Choose life. You got a choice right now. You can choose death, or you can choose life. That both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. And he is your life and the length of your days. He is your life. He is your life. He is your life. That's what we're clinging on to, right? He's our life. And He knows the length of our days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Right? That we may dwell. And we want them to dwell with us. Our families are hurting. Right? Our families are hurting. We got lost people in our families. We got people that think they believe, but I question, do they really believe? Because they don't act it. Right? We don't know. But we want to make sure. We want to be the best example we can be. Our families are hurting. Our friends are hurting. We need to communicate better.
Angie, I find that family is the hardest one.
You know why? Because of fear. Fear is the number one driving force of Satan. Right? Because we don't want to say something to our family that might offend them and them not look nice at us. Right? That all of a sudden they're going to turn our backs on us. But if we go back to love and we say, listen, the reason I am telling you this stuff is because I love you. What would not be love is for me to let you keep walking the way you're walking and end up with an eternity in hell. That is not love. Stepping away because I'm nervous about how you're going to feel towards me is not an option. That's selfish. That's pride. We don't want to push them away. We don't want to be pushy. But at the same time, we got to at least present it to them. They can make their own choice, right? But we got to present it to them. Let's not be fearful of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And to have enough trust in God that He's going to work through that, right? He's not going to just let you out there and flounder. He really isn't. Because there's things that I've told people that I don't even know where it came from. He ain't going to let you flounder. He's going to give you the words that you need to say. But we got to have enough trust to do that. To step out. To say, God loves you. I love you. And I want to make sure you're in heaven with me. And everybody else that I want to be in heaven with. Let's not miss that. We're not for it. It's a tough problem because I deal with the same struggles. It's a tough problem. We want to tell the family, but we get stuck. We get nervous. We don't know the approach. But it goes back to getting to know them, right? Why do you feel like you have to push against God? Where does that come from? It's got to come from somewhere, right? And a lot of people, the reason that they push against God too is because they think that they have to give everything up. Right? Oh, that's it. I can't have fun anymore. I can't have any fun anymore. Now, I'm going to say this, not to boost myself up, because it's going to sound that way, okay? I like to have fun. That's my life. I like to have fun. I like to see other people having fun. I like people to live life and enjoy life. Okay? I think God gave me that as a gift. So glory goes to God for that. What happens is if you can teach them that by being a Christian, you have to give up all the fun. You can by showing that you love life. By being an example, a light out there in a dark world. When I go in a nursing home, I had a lady who's a nurse there. She just started kind of just as needed. She came up to me and she said, when you come into the nursing home, Reg, the whole place livens up. It's a different light. And she said that. And I'm not saying that to be prideful. I really ain't. But she said that. And the reason that occurs is because I love life through Christ. That is the reason that that occurs. And so I want to be an example. I want to lift people up. I want to lift the workers at the nursing home. I want the residents to be lifted up. I want them to feel joy in their life so that their life is something important. Mm-hmm. That they have value. That they have love. Right?
Yes.
That's the communication we need. That's how we reach people. Right. I'm going to end this. I'm going to pray after, but I have a psalm on there. I've got to pull up real quick. Does anybody else like, well, I've got to pull this up. This is a psalm called Be Somebody. And it's going to be taken from a view of the lost, and then from us as well. But does anybody have anything they want to share about what I said today? Some way of communicating, maybe, or showing love? No?
Something I feel like just smiling at someone at Walmart.
Simple.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm or telling you.
Helping someone who's trying to get something off the top shelf, you know, and they can't reach it. They're just like, I think I'm going to do that for me. But that's how we should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that should be the normal. They shouldn't be like,
oh. I was walking out of the IDA one day, and there was this bag boy and an older lady in front of me. And there was this big puddle in the entryway, and he just kind of jumped over it and kept on going. And the little old lady was just standing there, looking at the puddle and looking at him. So then I jumped over the puddle and I reached my hand out to help her over. And she wouldn't wipe all my hand afterwards. She just kept patting my hand and saying, God bless you, God bless you. You know, and that was, by reaching out to her, it blessed me, you know, and it was just a wonderful feeling that
it's amazing
to
be
something grand.
It's
a small gesture.
Yeah. It's amazing that, I'll say this the other day, that when you focus on other people, your problems dissipate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's God's design.
Mm-hmm. But I think, Reggie, that's where a lot of us are failing, and I'm not but as parents, because we want our kids to be perfect, but they're not.
No.
And I think sometimes we want to make them as something that they're not, so they don't feel like they need God or they need anything because they're so perfect. Mm-hmm. That they don't need, and it's all about them. You see the younger generation, and I don't see it as, you know, here as much, but you go down south, you go other places, or when you travel, kids tend to be real rude. I mean,
I see it here.
Oh, yes.
But it's that we keep putting them up in this place where they're not. They don't belong.
Yeah.
Because they're imperfect, just as everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get better at that our kids are not perfect, that they make mistakes, that they screw up, and that they're not God's. I mean, they are God's gift to the world,
right.
But so is everyone else.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think it goes along with that, too, is parents, we also got to tell our kids about our imperfections, you know, that we have struggles. Again, it goes back to communicating those struggles. We have our struggles. We've been through struggles. We understand. A lot of kids look up to us and think, especially when they're really young, right, they think that their parents know everything and that they're perfect, right? But if we're real with them and we tell them, listen, I've been to college. I understand the struggles of the choices you make in college. You know? I get that. So for me to just put it aside, make pretend that nobody, that like none of that ever happened, you know, is not the right way to go. They're not going to learn the lessons that God wants them to learn. We need to be real with them. And we need to be, so not only do we need to make them understand that they're not perfect and that there's not some superhuman pressure to be perfect, but we're also not perfect, and we also struggle. But we also go to, absolutely, we go to God.
Yeah. And to God, I feel that it's important, and it's so funny because I mentioned this to Kathy that I like to pray, and even when I ask for forgiveness to God and everything in front of my son, and when we pray for others, I pray with him.
Yes.
And there was a day that I wasn't feeling well, and he lays his hands on me, he starts praying, and he's not very vocal,
right?
He does everything very quiet, so to me that was such a big thing.
Yes, it is.
He tends to just, like, he'll pray, but he won't say a word, he'll just put his hand on you, and that day he started speaking out, and it was kind of... But I think it's important that, and I always say, not only with our kids, with all kids, that they know that there's a love, but it's a love, that love that we're giving them comes through God, so that
that's
they
right.
can
yeah,
feel
absolutely.
That.
And they're hungry for that.
And they are.
Because even the loved ones. Yes. I mean, there are those that are going through a lot, but even the ones that are loved, are the, sometimes as parents, they we don't teach them the right way.
Right.
So here's this song, Be Somebody. This is, so
I'm just the boy inside the man. Not exactly who you think I am. Trying to trace my steps back here again. So many times I'm just inside your head, you came and made me who I am. I remember where it all began so clearly. I feel a million miles away, still you can let me in your way. And you created me something I would have never seen. When I can only see you fall, you made my window a door. So when they say they don't believe, I hope they see you.
I mean, we get when we pray, we got to be praying for what we want to do. Like, like how we want God to help us, right? And so that's what we're going to do. Dear Jesus, we just, I thank you for this message. I thank you for what you've worked through me. I pray that people heard the words that they needed to hear, that you wanted them to hear. I pray that this is a message that really reaches a broken world. I feel the pressures of the world, and I need your help. We need your help.
Yes.
We need your guidance. We want to be faithful to you, but a lot of times we pull away. We get nervous. We get scared. And so I just pray that we as a group of Christians in this country, just reach into you more. Trust that you're going to be with us. Change our minds. Help us to see the way you want us to see. This is an urgent time. It's an urgent time. I can feel the urgency. Things are not going the way they should be. And I'm scared for people I love. I'm scared, God. Scared for people I love. Friends I know. People that I know that are good but don't know you. My heart is bleeding for them. And I know yours is too. So I just ask that you give us the courage to touch people. To reach people. Help there to be a huge revolution here. Help the mindset of being a Northeasterner to break down a little bit. Help us not to be so independent-minded. We all need these. We love you and thank you with all our heart. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.